And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Ambrose and Atami say goodbye, the Bucks say hello to the Lucha Brothers, and though it seems a foregone conclusion that the women will main event WrestleMania, but will it be two or three of them? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event coming at you on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and I've got 2 hours of your weekly wrestling wrap-up coming at you with a whole bunch of guests joining me. First up, a former three-time WCW champion who may now be more well-known as a yoga instructor and the man who resurrected Jake the Snake and really helped out Scott Hall. That's right, Diamond Dallas Page will join me in hour two of tonight's show. Dallas has a new book out entitled Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. So we'll talk about that tonight and... considering Paige was in Cody's corner at All In, you can bet I'm going to slide in a couple AEW questions into the mix as well. Tonight, we've also got a couple triple threat newbies on the show. To kick things off, Cassidy Haynes from Bodyslam.net will be on, and joining him, the man who plays Bobo on Impact Wrestling. Well, his real name is actually Bob Kapoor, and he's a longtime correspondent for Slam Wrestling, so he will join us as well. Dave Meltzer is going to kick off our second hour with the Wrestling Observer Insider. We'll find out all about the news of the week and check in on Dave's hand as well. He had surgery this week. Another installment of the second round of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and yes, your feedback, as well as some speculation about the announcement of the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019. It hasn't happened yet. Wondering why and who it's going to be. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your Sunday night slash Monday morning routine. We're going to take a break and come back with all the week in wrestling news. This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, it's no surprise our top story this week is, of course, the news concerning Dean Ambrose. Pro Wrestling Torch reported on Monday night that Dean Ambrose wouldn't be renewing his contract when it expires in April due to frustration with the creative direction of his character. The WWE then issued a statement on Tuesday stating, quote, Dean Ambrose, Jonathan Good, will not be renewing his contract with WWE when it expires in April. We are grateful and appreciative of all that Dean has given to the WWE and our fans. We wish him well and hope that one day Dean will return to WWE, end quote. After WWE confirmed this, Renee Young, that's of course Dean's wife, posted a photo of Ambrose on Instagram and wrote, quote, this guy, the world is yours, my love, no guts, no glory, end quote. Interesting here that WWE has announced that someone is leaving 2 months before they're actually leaving? Is it a work? Is it real? We'll talk to Dave Meltzer next hour to get a little bit more in-depth on the Dean Ambrose story and this next story as well. You see, to follow this, PW Insider and Fightful then reported that Hideo Itami asked for and was granted a release from WWE following the SmackDown tapings. Hideo, known as Kenta in Noah and Ring of Honor, will be under a 90-day no-compete clause. Now, as you may remember, Itami joined the WWE in 2014 and was riddled with injuries during his time in NXT, and aside from a highly anticipated debut, spent most of his time being overshadowed by other stars. The interesting thing, though, with this situation is that he asked for his release and it was granted. Naturally, this has not been the same case with many other rumored release requests, some of which I've heard are factual. A lot more than rumor. I hear something to chat about. Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows were active legally recently, filing for a few interesting trademarks. Anderson filed for Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, and Hot Asian Wife. Gallows filed for trademarks Doc Gallows, Good Brother, Good Brothers, Big LG, Talkin' Shop, and Biz Cliz. So we'll see what is happening with those guys and also what's happening with these guys, Killian Dane and Sanity. And the reason why I say that is Killian Dane this week posted a tweet asking hashtag where is Sanity with Alexander Wolf posting after that, sick of this, in response. The group, which includes Eric Young, haven't been on television since December the 18th. So we're going to keep watch on the insanity taking place with Sanity, considering what is going on with all the All Elite contract excitement. Speaking of such, All Elite Wrestling issued a press release this week about their Double or Nothing ticket announcement party. The event will take place at the Splash Pool at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 6 p.m. Pacific, on Thursday, February the 7th. Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, and Brandi Rhodes are going to be in attendance, and according to the press release, will reveal spectacular new signings, exciting new partnerships, ticket on sale information, and a surprise special guest at the party. With that in mind, this week's episode of Being the Elite ended with a countdown clock for Kenny Omega. It ends on the day of the ticket party. Another couple of names to look out for that may be at the party, perhaps Pentagon and Phoenix. The reason why I say that is there was a show in Georgia last night where the Lucha Brothers were wrestling and the Young Bucks showed up to cut a promo and put them over, but also saying they were the second best tag team in the world, and if they wanted to prove they were the best, they should sign with AEW. The two then offered handshakes, but were interrupted before the Lucha Brothers could embrace or reject them. If it means anything, Chris Jericho also started cutting promos on Pentagon and Phoenix on Twitter, but I guess he kind of does that for everyone, so we shall see. Now, if you can't make it to Vegas, but would like to watch the party, it's going to be streaming live on the Being Elite YouTube channel, AEW's Twitter account, the Young Bucks Facebook page, and Brandi's Instagram. Hopefully they spend less on fireworks and more on production value this time around. Back over to the WWE world from there, the reason why we didn't see Ember Moon on Raw was she is set to undergo elbow surgery and expects to be out of action for a while. That's why Natty got saddled with Dana Brooke as her partner. If you were surprised to see Jeff Jarrett on TV again on Monday night, don't be. The WWE Hall of Famer is returning to the company in a producer role. Now, PW Insider is reporting that Jarrett's role is going to be on screen as well, and there may be some merit to that considering tomorrow night he's booked in a match versus Elias. For better or for worse. Jarrett joins former Impact producers Sanjay Dutt and Shane Helms that are also working behind the scenes now for WWE. Okay, if you're not into spoilers, cover your ears for the next 30 seconds, but this is kind of newsworthy since WWE did an interesting angle. It happened at the NXT tapings this week because Velveteen Dream won the World's Collide tournament, which gave him the opportunity for his choice of title shot, right? He came out and confronted Ciampa and Gargano in the ring and surprisingly chose Gargano's title. Now, the two had a match, and initially, Dream walked away with the win and the title. However, Gargano then ran back into the ring and tapped Dream with the Gargano Escape. He took the title with him as if he won it back, potentially indicating that another finish was taped. So very curious to see what happens here with WWE, what they broadcast on television, and who has this title now. We shall see and find out. Just interesting the way that they work this on out. Over to Ring of Honor now. Ian Riccaboni, my favorite announcer of the year for 2018, stated on his Twitter that he has signed a multi-year deal and will be staying with ROH. That is excellent. Along with that, ROH also signed PJ Black. That's formerly Justin Gabriel in the WWE. He announced he'll be starting on March 16th. The interesting note about PJ Black signing is that this means he got out of his Lucha Underground contract. And there are a few other people that are also looking to do that right now, considering how hot the free agent market is and the fact that another Lucha Underground season at this point kind of seems unlikely. One more ROH note, Mark Haskins tweeted that he suffered a partial tear in his calf, but should only miss a couple weeks and is still going to be at February's ROH shows in Florida. Impact Wrestling and MLW announced that they're coordinating with each other to make sure there won't be any booking conflicts and fans can make their WrestleMania week shows on April 4th. You see, MLW's TV tapings will take place at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Impact will now partner with WrestlePro for a show called United We Stand. That will take place in Rahway, New Jersey, beginning at 11 p.m. Eastern, and it will air live on Twitch. Speaking of Impact, the company has moved a number of people from their roster to the alumni section on their website. This includes Matt Sydal, and Sydal posted an update following his knee surgery, saying, "Surgery went well. I'm meeting with my doctor tomorrow for more information and begin the recovery process. Thanks for the support." Okay, couple MMA notes here before we move along. After a long meeting on Tuesday, the Nevada State Athletic Commission cleared John Jones to fight at March's UFC 235, but with extensive stipulations on drug testing. In order to compete, the UFC light heavyweight champion agreed to twice-a-month drug testing by the Nevada Athletic Commission leading up to his title defense against Anthony Smith, and twice-a-month drug testing throughout 2019. And if that doesn't work, I'm sure Dana will just move the card to another state. The Nevada Athletic Commission also doled out suspensions to both Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor on Tuesday that could complicate when the UFC lightweight title is next defended. Nurmagomedov was suspended for 9 months and fined $500,000 retroactive to October 6, the night of UFC 229, where he jumped over the octagon and got into a fight. The suspension can be reduced to 6 months if Nurmagomedov participates in an anti-bullying PSA campaign. However, a wrinkle in that whole return there is the one-year suspensions and matching $25,000 fines handed out to a couple of his teammates. ESPN era Hawani says he doesn't expect Nurmagomedov to fight until those suspensions are up, which could put the light heavyweight title, the lightweight title on ice for a year. Now, the other party here of Conor McGregor was suspended for 6 months and fined $50,000 for his role at UFC 229, making him eligible to return as early as April. And never mind these Donald Cerrone rumors. Someone please call Georges St-Pierre and make the biggest fight of all time in UFC for April. McGregor, St-Pierre, can we not please make this happen? Is it just me that is craving this fight? I'd love to see it. Best promos ever. Conor says everything. George smiles. Hilarious. Let's take a break. We're going to come on back. We're going to get back into the world of wrestling here. Let's talk about what happened on Raw and something that wasn't hilarious, and that was the first part of Ronda Rousey's promo. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the second part as well, because that seemed to make everyone forget what happened when she started talking. That is next as we get into Raw, SmackDown, and all that happened this week in the world of wrestling, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Gave me the fight of my life. She did. She has more passion and desire than any competitor I have ever faced. And so I'd like to thank Sasha Banks. I want to thank Sasha for making me better today than she was just. All right, you got me to stutter. Good job.
Imagine me and you. I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right.
Ah, yes, there you go. Monday night. Ronda Rousey stumbling and bumbling her way through an unexpected crowd reaction. Now, I got a lot of heat when I sent out a tweet about the fact that she was outright terrible at the beginning of this segment. And someone in the back with more experience should have schooled her as to what to do if the crowd turned on her. But I actually think this is a bigger problem here. I mean, this is part of a larger problem of the WWE scripted structure and the lack of creative freedom that is given to the performers. And I mean, I do speak of this with a little bit of knowledge as a performer. I mean, granted, I've never been in front of 15,000 screaming people that hate me and are yelling at me, but I've had 100 of them inside one of the wrestling strike shows at Comedy Bar screaming at me. And even that number of people, all in unison, trying to get their message out, well, not in unison because they're just screaming and yelling, makes it really, really difficult as a performer to think properly when you're trying to remember a script. You see, the difference here is Ronda was trying to remember as opposed to react. and being part of the moment that she's a part of creating. Just imagine what would have happened in that scenario if instead of Rhonda saying, "Okay, guys, you got me to stutter," she said, "How about all of you sit there and shut up because the champ is talking," and then go on a rant about how she's felt disrespected since day one in the WWE. I mean, let's face it. The WWE writers and producers know Rhonda is going into Mania as a heel against Becky Lynch. Though, essentially, they're throwing her to the wolves whenever they send her out there in front of a crowd like that. And she has to play a baby face and doesn't have the allowance and permission to react to the crowd in the way that they're treating her and the way it's actually making her feel. Because I don't know if you followed Ronda's UFC career at all, but she has a tendency to wear her heart on her sleeve. Her psychopathic, competitive heart right out there for everyone to see on her sleeve. But then again, I suppose improvising isn't one of Ronda's strong points, as we saw on Monday night, not only in the first promo, but also in the match versus Bayley, where it was crystal clear that Ronda's still green and needs to practice before she performs. Well, that and Bayley is definitely not of the experience and stature of Natalya, who was able to lead the newer performer Ronda through improvising a match. However, by the end of the segment, I suppose all of that was erased when Becky Lynch hit the ring and we got this exchange.
"I choose you."
"Oh, yeah!
And at WrestleMania, I am going to break your mystique. I am going to take your title. And I am going to kick your ass in front of the whole world.
You, me, and everyone else here knows that I have the ability to kill you with my bare hands without even breaking a sweat. And the only thing stopping me is my decision not to. You gotta learn something here, honey. Any ring I step into is mine. I own the ground under my feet, and I'm gonna own you at WrestleMania."
Clearly, the fans are a slight bit excited about the potential for finally seeing a Becky versus Ronda match at Mania. But now the question lies, is it a one-on-one or will it be a three-way? I put up a poll on both the Sunday Night's Main Event Facebook group and the Sunday Night's Main Event Twitter and got over 1,000 votes. 80% of them, more than 80% of them, wanted a straight-up match between Ronda and Becky after that confrontation on Monday. And honestly, who can blame them? But there are a few points to consider on each side of this. Naturally, a one-on-one match is the foundation of professional wrestling, and in the history of WrestleMania main events, Hogan Andre, Rock Austin, Lawrence Taylor, Bam Bam Bigelow, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. All the big ones have been one-on-one matchups. But as we saw on Monday, Ronda, still relatively inexperienced, right? So by adding Charlotte to the mix, does that act as a bit of a safety net? Clearly, we've seen Becky and Charlotte have tremendous matches, and an ideal main event at Mania in this day and age should have both the hype and the work rate. So maybe the three-way is the right decision. Plus, the Flair name for legacy, Rousey for mainstream attention, and Becky Lynch to make all the actual wrestling fans happy. And if you remember back to how the whole Becky Lynch thing got started, she went on a winning streak, was supposed to get a title shot, and then Charlotte found her way into the match and won. Well, in this case, Charlotte can claim she was supposed to win that Royal Rumble until Becky illegally found her way into the match and took away the chance of the title shot. There is a parallel here. I think it just remains to be seen if the WWE is able to play this out and lay the storyline out properly leading up to WrestleMania. Let's not forget, we've still got 2 months and 2 pay-per-views. So what you want now isn't necessarily what you're going to want in 2 months. Now, normally at this point, I'd head into some phone calls, but with our new format, we're doing things a little different. I'm always up for taking your feedback in an audio form, but we're doing so on Facebook. So if you want to get in on weeks that we're not doing phone calls, but still have your voice heard, all you have to do is friend me on Facebook. I'm easy to find. Jason Agnew, and then use the voice recorder to send me an audio note, and you can have your voice heard any week right here on the show. So let's do one of those.
Hi, Jason. It's Jake here from a very freezing 20 degree below zero Fahrenheit, Chicago, Illinois. It's brutal here, but anyway. I just want to ask you, since we're heading into Mania season, who do you think will be in the WWE Hall of Fame this year? Cheers, bro.
Thanks for the note, Jake. Yeah, this is interesting because WWE has yet to announce any of the inductees for the 2019 Hall of Fame, and they're late on doing that. Now, there's a few rumors that have been floating around. The Undertaker's name has popped up. If he's not wrestling, then do they want to cash in on having him go into the Hall of Fame? Kane's a mayor, pretty much done his career. Maybe them, maybe both of them, maybe just throw Michelle McCool into the mix as well. So we get all of The Undertaker and his wife into the Hall of Fame. Let's get it done in 1 year. Another thing to consider is where they are. And WrestleMania this year is taking place in New Jersey, which could be a very cold New Jersey, considering the way the weather is going. I digress. I think Tommy Dreamer would be an excellent choice to go in this year. Now, I know he's working with Impact, but let's face it, Impact's pretty much invisible. He did work at, you know, the All In thing, and he booked the Battle Royal, so I don't know. Tommy is also, though, all over the WWE Network. He's a huge player on the ENC show. He's on that constantly, so I don't know if they would disqualify him due to his involvement in other organizations, but I think Tommy Dreamer is a natural to go in for the ECW history that they can tell. And he's just such a smart mind in the business. It would be great to see him go in. Shane Helms is also working behind the scenes if you want to go the jokey route by putting the Hurricane in. Big Van Vader. I mean, it would have been better if they had put him in last year, you know, with him just passing. And it seems, you know, this is always the discussion that we have every year with how many guys that have passed on are you going to put in? For instance, we just saw the passing of Tom Billington. Davey Boy Smith has already passed. Neither one of them are in. Do you put the British Bulldogs into the Hall of Fame? And Bret Hart inducts them. Demolition has yet to go into the Hall of Fame. My goodness, those guys, I believe, still hold records for the longest time having the titles around their waist. I could be wrong. I'm not researching this, but that seems to pop into my head. The Rock's going to go in whenever he wants to go in. So that's a possibility as a headliner, of course, if Taker's not doing it. And I think Dave Bautista falls into that category as well. Just the fact that he's done so well in Hollywood. It depends if he's going to do that match or not, or whether he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. I'd say one of the two, not both. And that kind of depends on Triple H's health as well. And one more that has been strongly rumored in the past and would be very appropriate to go in this year is Bam Bam Bigelow. There's a guy that you could definitely put in because you are in New Jersey and it makes sense. But my pick is Tommy Dreamer. I'd like to see Tommy Dreamer go in, of course, not as the main guy, but just someone in there to be thrown into the mix. We are going to take a break. When we come back, it will be triple threat time here on the show. Two new triple threaters this week. I'll tell you all about them when we return Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Sweet dreams are made.
Is the triple threat.
There's gonna be a triple threat.
Triple threat.
Triple threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is triple threat time here on Sunday night's main event, and interesting thing this week we're doing is inviting a couple new members of our triple threat family. First of all, we have Cassidy Haynes. He is from bodyslam.net, owner and operator of that. Cassidy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show, taking time out. And a gentleman who has a long, long history at Slam Wrestling, but you may actually have seen him on Impact Wrestling recently, as Bobo. Bob Kapoor, welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Thanks so much, Jason.
So, guys, this week, obviously, the big talk in the world of wrestling was the fact that the women are going to main event WrestleMania, but the debate is whether we go Ronda versus Becky or Ronda versus Becky versus Charlotte. We had quite the segment on Monday night and then a bit of a follow-up on SmackDown on Tuesday. So, Cassidy, I'll start with you. You know, should it definitely be a one-on-one here, or do you see Charlotte, them benefiting by putting Charlotte into this match?
I think it would be better one-on-one myself, just because I've seen that triple threat match before. I mean, already, they do that too much. I think a singles match would be much more beneficial. I mean, what are you going to do with Asuka if you don't put Charlotte in that match with her? I don't know. I think that triple threat, that's what came from Meltzer, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation in regards to the fact that they're building towards a triple threat. I mean, obviously, Charlotte has the Flair name. There's a certain legacy to that. And I think, Cassidy, though, you brought up a great point. I mean, Bob, will throw this one to you. If you don't go with a triple threat for the main event at WrestleMania, or sorry, if you do go with that, then where does that leave Asuka? She's definitely the odd woman out here.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't do it. If you're going to, though, I think you've got some time, right? You've got, a month and a half? Or about a month build, you can actually build a contender. I mean, when Carmella won that Money in the Bank, who would have thought she would have won it and actually got over with it and to the point where people now see her as a viable contender? I think you can actually...
I don't know about that, Bob. Hold on. That's part of the problem here, though, is looking at that brand, because we're not just talking about who is perceived as a contender. And listen, I never thought that Carmella was. But also look at the work rate of anyone else on that brand. And I think that's part of the problem here. Charlotte gets shortchanged if she's in there with anyone else aside from these two women, don't you think?
I don't know. I think you could actually, so the rematch of Charlotte and Asuka from, was it last year where they fought and Charlotte ruined her undefeated streak? You could tell a story there and go back to that well. I don't think it's the greatest, but you're right. They put Asuka in an awkward position in that she's too strong right now and that the only person that they could put her with is Charlotte, but I don't think that that's the right match.
Yeah, I think that title has definitely taken second place here. Is there a certain mystique, Cassidy, to a one-on-one as opposed to a three-way to main event WrestleMania?
I think so. I mean, it just seems more important to me when it's just two people going for the belt instead of having that wild card that kind of just takes away from the head-to-head competition there, especially if it's going to be your main event. I think you'd have a lot better build just a two-person match instead of going a triple threat for that.
Now, Bob, though, I mean, you know, you have Ronda and Becky. Becky, a fairly experienced competitor here, but Ronda's still very green. You know, she's only really been around for a year in a wrestling ring, not counting all of her UFC stuff. Do you think that Charlotte is a bit of an insurance policy there if she's thrown into this as well, because you can separate and have Becky and Charlotte work a lot of the match?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think, though, that, you know, Ronda has improved tremendously from, you know, so I think she can be carried to a good match. I think Becky has the skills to do that. So, I don't think you need a third person. And frankly, I think that the fans don't want a third person in that match. Like, this is a very compelling story for Becky Lynch. Give her her moment, give her the chance to shine. And ending that match, I mean, if Becky wins, this will be bigger than, you know, Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania moment, or just as big for that New York crowd.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, and one of the things WWE does focus on is sending the fans away happy at the end of WrestleMania. And I think the crowd going nuts for Becky Lynch would be the right decision here. So let's move over to, you know, another title, and one on the Raw brand, actually, that just seems to have little interest, unless it's just me. Cassidy, is it just me that has almost zero interest in Rollins versus Lesnar?
It's one of those where, like, they haven't really, I guess you could build it to where they can get back at the WrestleMania thing where he cashed in, you know, a couple years ago and took the title from him at WrestleMania. But I don't know. I think everybody's kind of over. They're kind of starting to shove Seth Rollins down your throat, kind of like they did Roman Reigns before. So I'm worried that they're going to burn everybody out on Seth Rollins, just being that now that's like who they have to focus on Raw, because who else do they have with, you know, with Roman's gone, if Dean's leaving, you know, Brock's never there. So now it's like the main story in Raw is going to be Seth Rollins. And he's going to be forced on you every week like they did Roman Reigns constantly. So I think it's going to make that, it might make that hard because people don't really like being told what they have to like and what they need to get behind and stuff like that. So it'll be to see how they do the story. You know what I mean? How they build it up makes all the difference in the world. It's just right now I could care less myself. I have no desire to see Brock Lesnar throw another 220-pound guy around the ring 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, that is the classic Lesnar match. It's funny you used, you know, burn it instead of burn it down. It's more so burn it out with Seth Rollins that you kind of alluded to there, which is funny. You know, and about the Lesnar character, Bob, Lesnar and Heyman are or maybe were a great act. It is the same thing over and over again. And I'm kind of thinking it's time for a break. How about you?
So I'm never going to get tired of Brock Lesnar and, you know, the matches of him throwing guys around. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's a dominant, champion. And if they can find someone who the fans get behind, who they, you know, the writers get behind and push them to the underdog story, who can finally topple, you know, the beast, I think it's a great, great, compelling story. I don't know that the problem, I think, is that they have no one in that spot and no one who's believable enough to do it at this point. Right, Balor, I was surprised how much offense he got at Royal Rumble, and I thought that was a really good story. And you know, they have a shot with Lesnar because he does work with guys well.
Yep.
Or can, like Dean Ambrose, notwithstanding.
Yeah,
he can put on a good match that could lead to that story. Is Rollins the guy? I don't know. I think it could be. I think if at this point now, I think there's Lesnar fatigue. Mm-hmm. That if anybody beats him, I think that'll be a happy ending to the match. So why not give it to Rollins? The guy deserves it. He's a workhorse. He's done it. You know, he's carried the company through some lean times in terms of being still popular, even with some, when he was a bad guy, when he was a good guy. So, yeah, I'd say I'm okay with the story. I'm okay with the match. And yeah, I think give him the title.
And I kind of do.
I kind of think that if Rollins does take the title from Lesnar, it's just the way to get to Rollins versus McIntyre, which you kind of already teased a little bit too, because I think McIntyre is going to be their, I mean, that's going to be one of their key guys on Raw, and they got to do something with him. So, I mean, if you get Lesnar out of there and let him go do his UFC thing, then who is going to be Rollins' challenger? And you got McIntyre, I think, and they've been trying to get him to the main event picture since he came back. So I kind of think that's the way they're going to go, is they got to get the belt off Lesnar and then get McIntyre in there somehow. And I don't think you could do it taking him straight into, you know, Brock Lesnar. Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar wouldn't make any sense. So,
man, Drew, Cassidy, do you buy into Drew McIntyre though? Because I still can't buy into this guy.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fun to watch. I mean, I really like watching him work. It's just, I don't know if I'm not sure. I don't like him on the mic. His character is just kind of stale, but I mean, he's really good in the ring. I really like watching him wrestle, and I think he can be. He's big. He's that prototype that, you know, Vince McMahon likes, that big, tall body, just in good shape guy. So, I mean, he can be. He really could be.
He was the chosen one at one point. Bob, do you think that he's managed to, you know, reestablish himself as someone that is perceived as a top guy?
I think so. I think they've done a pretty good job of keeping him protected. I mean, he lost that match just the other week, but I don't think that's taken away too much. If I were fantasy booking, I'd actually have Heyman turn on Brock and then side up with Drew McIntyre, let Brock take some time off or go to the UFC, and then push Drew with the, you know, if his biggest missing ingredient is the mic skills, mm-hmm. Give it to Heyman.
I don't know if
his advocate.
You know, I don't know if his missing skills are the mic, though. He's pretty solid on the mic. I just don't know if he's fully connecting. Let's flip over to the SmackDown side of things. We saw Daniel Bryan's new title belt debut this week. Bob, what'd you think?
Loved it.
Me too.
Loved it. You know, anytime they do something like that, like, you know, when they made the big giant belt for Andre, or they had, like, the spinning belt for Cena, this one is perfect. It so fits the Daniel Bryan character, and it's just and it looks great.
Yeah, it looks very different. It totally fits with the character. Though, Cassidy, looking at what Daniel Bryan's got going on, I'm going to guess he's going to successfully defend his title at Elimination Chamber, but where does that put him against Mania? I mean, Orton, Hardy, Joe, Mustafa Ali, those, and AJ are the ones in the Elimination Chamber. Any of those guys? Do we see AJ again at WrestleMania with Bryan?
I think you got to go Samoa Joe.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, he's the hottest thing right now on SmackDown.
That's two heels.
He came out doing that promo the other night. Man, that heel, he killed it during that, like, that Elimination Chamber setup promo, man. That was, he's by far, I think, the hottest thing on SmackDown. I think you put Joe in there, and that might get some good attention.
I mean,
how many times have we seen AJ and Daniel Bryan in the last 3 months, really, already? So, I mean, you got to do something different, I think.
I agree, but you would have two heels there, unless, Bob, they're somehow going to flip Joe into a babyface, and I think the crowd would rally around him because he's just so good at everything he does.
I agree with you. He can do it. He's got the crowd just eating out of the palm of his hands every time he's on screen. So whatever he does, I think you can turn him. The question is, would people back him over Daniel Bryan? Like, who does the crowd want to cheer in that situation?
I think Daniel Bryan's done a good enough job insulting the fans and establishing himself as the heel. Now, that character is pretty rock solid. Just need that solid baby face on the other side. Hey, let's talk about someone that looks to be departing from the WWE, and that's Dean Ambrose. And in particular, a weird thing that happened on Sunday and Monday with Nia Jax finding her way into the Men's Royal Rumble and then a bit of a confrontation with Dean Ambrose. The resurgence of intergender matchups seems to be lurking its head, and I won't use ugly head until I get your opinion on it, but Cassidy, do you like the possibility here of going back to this, like what they did with China and what Lucha Underground had done in the past?
A lot of people don't like it. I really don't care. I mean, as long as it's a believable kind of... I mean, Nia Jax, I have no problem thinking that she could beat up half the roster. But then if you put, like, somebody really tiny in there against, like, an R-Truth, I would be like, if Candice LeRae wrestled R-Truth, I'd have a little bit more trouble believing it. But Nia Jax coming through and knocking R-Truth out on the way to the ring. Didn't she actually hurt him on his way to the Rumble?
There was that talk that she did hit him really hard and send him into the ring post. I mean, it wasn't actually a hurt thing because he was on – it's hurt as opposed to injury, right?
Yeah.
But Bob, the intergender stuff coming on back, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, they did it in the Attitude Era and we got to get edgier. I'm not convinced this is the right way to go.
Yeah, I'm not wild about it. I would get it if Nia Jax was the champion, had beaten both the Raw champion and the SmackDown Women's Champion,
right,
and said, hey, I've got no competition in the women's division, so I'm going up to the next level, right? I'm going to take on men and I'm going to actually compete for a title. Right, that to me would be interesting, and I think it would be justifiable to go into those sort of intergender matches. But beyond that, you know, while she's still not a title holder as a singles, women's champion, I don't think you need a match. You need to move to the men's.
So do you see, though, you know, with Dean Ambrose exiting, we saw a good housekeeping match years ago with Jeff Jarrett, who's now back in the company. Cassidy, Dean Ambrose, Nia Jax, you think this is a program that's going to happen?
I really hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it depends on maybe if they're how they feel about Dean Ambrose leaving. If it's legit. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence of whether or not we're being worked. But
right,
if it is legit and he's leaving, that would be just a slap to the face of how to send him out. Right, like this guy that you used to have, he was your world champion. He's been your intercontinental champion, and then like he's going to job him out to Nia Jax on his way out the door. To that would just kind of be a little bit of an insult to injury, I think, but I don't know.
Why do you think it
would kill his momentum? I mean, any momentum we'd have, it's like, well, here's the guy that got sent out the door by a woman when he was supposed to be a world champion. It would kind of be insulting to me to be Dean Ambrose, to be that's your last program with the company, is to get ran out the door by a well, I mean, it is Nia Jax. She's the biggest woman and probably the strongest woman on the roster, but still, I mean.
Yeah, but Cassidy, that's the idea. That would be the absolute idea if they don't care for Ambrose leaving.
I mean, it would really do a lot to get her over, and it would establish her as, like you said, that China-esque woman on the roster that can be taken seriously against men. But if that's what you want to do, I guess that's the way you do it. But it also, I think it all depends on how you want to treat Ambrose on his way out if he's really leaving. If you want to be, give him a... I don't know. I wouldn't do it, but that's not. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't do that they do anyway. So
yeah,
I could definitely see them doing that. 100%. I could see them putting that program on his way out the door for the last couple months here.
Yeah, I think the difference too is that Jared was given a lot of money to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose is walking out the door. What does he care if he doesn't go with the program?
Well,
if he's truly given notice, truly saying I'm done, what's in it for him?
Well, what are you saying? He would sit out? Because, you know, we've seen if people do sit out, much like Neville did, then WWE just manages a way to extend their contract and keep them in litigation. So you're kind of forced to go along with the storyline if it's put on you.
No, but you do the match, but you don't participate fully in it.
Gotcha.
You make Nia look bad.
Right.
And you make the whole match look silly, right?
Gotcha.
So it defeats the purpose.
I hear ya. Well,
I don't know the guy, so I can't say he'd do that or not, but why wouldn't he?
Yeah, no, I could see it as well. If they're trying to embarrass him, then he tries to embarrass them. It could get very petty on the way out, and it'll be interesting to watch. One more thing to chat about before we go here. The Elimination Chamber is coming, and we were already talking about a potentially bad match, so let's talk about another one. Last night, the WWE announced the Iconics are in the Elimination Chamber. Didn't have to qualify. They're going to join Nia Jackson, Tamina, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. All heel tag teams right now, along with that Bayley and Sasha, are going to qualify on Monday. This match, to me, Ambrose and Jax might be a disaster, but this match has disaster written all over it. Bob, what do you think's going to happen here? Like, what do they have to do to make this match half decent?
You start with Bayley and Sasha and hope they can walk everyone through a match.
Because there's not much else there. I mean, you do have the potential for another team, and I'm wondering if this is where Kairi Sane and Io Shirai are going to pop into the mix.
Yeah, it's possible. I guess I'm hopeful it's them and not the Bella Twins reuniting.
Ooh, haven't heard those names, but that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Cassidy, I mean, it's odd to launch a tag team title in an Elimination Chamber match. Are you in favor of this?
You mean having a tag team title decided in a match where there's no tag team wrestling involved? Really?
Something like that, yeah.
It's totally odd to me, and I don't understand it, but... And I didn't even really look at the rules of it because I was just totally confused with how it's going to work having a tag team elimination chamber match to decide the tag team titles. But, I mean, I guess if they're just trying to – I guess there's a way to try to draw some attention to it to make it seem even bigger just to put it inside the chamber, or just they don't have anything else to put inside the chamber for a program. But I don't know how it's going to go. I'm really, really thinking it's going to be sloppy. Like you were saying, it's going to be a mess. I mean, the Royal Rumble was pretty rough at times anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how this is going to go, you know. I mean, we'll see.
One more question before you go, guys. The WWE Hall of Fame, they're doing the induction every year. They're late on announcing anyone. Who do you think, or who would you like to see go in this year? Cassidy, I'll start with you. Your one pick.
Last year, the guy that was working with me, Brad Shepard, you might remember his name. He's announced a lot of scoops. He got the XFL returning. He was working with me last year, and it was announced that Bam Bam Bigelow was supposed to go in last year. And I had actually brought it up to him when we started hearing the names. I was like, no, I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think it's going to happen next year. And we started talking, why not put Bam Bam in New York, New Jersey, in his own hometown? That's who I think will be in at some point. Bam Bam Bigelow will be in the Hall of Fame this year.
I think that's a great idea considering where they are. Bob?
That would have been my choice, but I'll go with a different one. I'll say the celebrity wing inductee this year should be Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
It is good.
Yeah. I mean, New York's got the history with her. She's main WrestleMania 1, like the main player. She deserves it. And I think it would be a great honor for her and for them to bring her back.
If she'll do it, because some celebrities do turn it down, but if she'll do it, that would be excellent. That's a great choice, Bob. Really appreciate you both being on the show. Where can people find you guys? Cassidy?
You can find all of my work on bodyslam.net. You can follow us on Twitter at bodyslamnet. My personal account is at Casshole with 3 O's, so it's CASSHOOOLE. And just... anywhere, just follow us on social media, connect with us. We'll love to chat with you guys, and we love talking wrestling with people. So,
now, Bob, I know people can still see you occasionally on Impact Wrestling with your character of Bobo, but you do still write here and there for Slam Wrestling, and are you on the social medias of the world?
I have a Facebook account, just Bob Kapoor. I have a Twitter, but I don't think I've tweeted anything, so I don't know if I've lost my password, but I intend in 2019 to start tweeting.
All right, there you go. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining me this week. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
Hey, man, it was my pleasure, man. I appreciate it.
Stay with us. When we come back, Diamond Dallas Page. Yep, interviewed him earlier this week, chatted about his book, and threw in a couple AEW questions. Will he be making an appearance? We'll find out next Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. If you love, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time. Self high five. Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. A very familiar song in the background. It sounds like Nirvana, but it's not. You listening to the show know my next guest, Diamond Dallas Page, as a three-time WCW champion, a WWE Hall of Famer, star of Ready to Rumble, stalker to The Undertaker's ex-wife. Okay, so his career had ups and downs. However, he's actually quite an incredible guy that has managed to parlay his wrestling fame into a whole yoga and personal betterment empire. Well, DDP's got a new book out, which gave me an ideal excuse to have him on the show to talk about the book. And then, much like Charlotte did the main event at WrestleMania, I decided to shoehorn some AEW questions into the interview. I mean, after all, he was in Cody's corner at All In, and I've been talking about the need for AEW to have a couple familiar faces on their TV show. So, you know, all I'm saying is I'm glad he wrote a new book. Now, this is actually Dallas's third book. In 2000, he released Positively Page, an autobiography. In 2005, Yoga for Regular Guys, the best damn workout on the planet. And on January 15th, 2019, just a couple weeks ago, he released Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. So I started the interview by asking him how this book differs from the other two.
This is more of a get your head on and own it. And what I mean by that is every person who I've ever worked with in my program, a lot of the transformations are mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. You know, that like this guy, this disabled veteran could go from, you know, 5'6", 297 pounds, could not walk without the aids of his knee braces, back brace, and wraparound canes for 15 years. Like, how do you get that guy to have any hope at all? And once he sees what my program could do for so many people and that he could do it too, well, then I get him doing the program. And what I explain to him, as important as the DDPY workouts are, as important as the eating plan is, it's 10% of the equation. The 90% is between your ears. And that six-inch piece of real estate, that story you tell yourself, that inner voice, like, that's what this book is all about. This book is all about the art of owning it. And what is it? It's whatever you want it to be, but it's everything starts, begins, and wins or fails in your brain. Like, your brain, it's, everything is your own reality. And so many people have such negative self-talk. Like, they put themselves down. They don't feel like they're worthy. They look at themselves in the mirror and they're disgusted. I mean, it's like people, like, a lot of things. The golden, the golden rule is treat people the way they want to be treated. No, because most people, I don't want anybody to treat me like that, because most people treat themselves like garbage. They put garbage food in their body. They don't take care of themselves. They talk down to themselves. Like, that's not how I treat myself. I want you to treat me the way I want to be treated, you know, because it's all about that inner voice. And I not only give you different situations from my life, but they're major obstacles that were in my way, you know, major adversities, major really down times in my life, and how I flipped them around. But not just me, so many other people that I work with that, again, when I'm working with someone one-on-one, it's easy for me to try to get them to understand it. Now, it takes a lot of work. So that doesn't mean they're actually going to do it, because it takes a lot of work. But I've never had a platform to say, read this book and you'll understand everything I'm talking about. Because it's got everything that I'm talking about in it.
You know, Dallas, you do so many things for people, and you keep such a positive mindset in what you're doing, and especially, you know, in the book as well. When you do happen to duck back in the world of wrestling, because you do pop back in here and there, What do you take out of, you know, the performers' mindset that are out there now? Do you find it positive, or do you find a lot of these guys, you know, being negative? Mindset.
I find a lot of them being positive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like back in our day, you know, we partied a lot. You know, we drank a lot. There was a lot of pills done. You know, there was a lot of, I wouldn't say drugs so much as the, you know, prescription pills.
Right.
Because, you know, that fake stuff hurts like hell. You know, and there's times where you need painkillers because your body's beat up. And the bottom line is, these kids today, they can't take the painkillers. You know, they can't do, you know, because WWE, you know, I use them as the example, they got a pretty strong wellness policy. Like, if you test for pills, if you don't have it, like, backed up from A to Z, you know, that's going to be a, you know, strike one. But they don't want anybody on pills. And, you know, there's a lot of preventative maintenance stuff that they can do, and that's where I come in. Like, I go down to the WWE Performance Center every 3 months and work with these kids that are down there. And a lot of them grew up watching me, so it makes it a little bit easier for them to listen to me, you know, and because really Jericho was the first guy who was one of the boys who was from, you know, he's much younger than me, but from my era of guys I worked with who actually did my program. And it mind-boggled him that everybody wasn't doing it right away, but they didn't see the dramatic results he did. So he told everybody about it, you know, and, you know, but a lot of, you know, old-timers, they're not going to do it. Like Hulk Hogan, I begged to let me help him. He's had 8 back surgeries. Like, I don't know what I could do now. I still know I could help him a little bit.
Right.
Because once you start cutting your back up, not a good idea.
So, you know, you mentioned working there with guys at the Performance Center. So, and you're in good standing with WWE. However, we did see you at All In as well in the corner of Cody Rhodes. How did that appearance come about? Who called who there?
Cody's been like a nephew to me. You know, I mean, Dusty, without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. And we have a very close relationship. Let's put it like this. I was living in L.A. and I flew back for both of his state championships back when he was wrestling in high school.
Right.
You know, we go way back. And Dusty, you know, he would always tell Cody, you know, if you can end up with 5 friends on one hand, you know, if you can count, you know, 5 fingers, if you got a friend for each one of those, he said, you've done something right. And he said, you know, because that's it. He goes, I've got 5 friends. He used to tell me all the time. And he would always say, you're on that, you're one of those 5 to me. But when he passed, Cody had called me up. And he said, you know, I just want to let you know that before Dad left, you know, and he said this before, but he wanted me to know that, you know, you're lucky if you have 5 friends and stuff. You can really trust somebody who you know be there to help you. And he goes, Dallas has always been on that list. There are guys who have, Cody would say, there are some guys who are on the list that fell off the list.
Yep.
He said, but Dallas was always on that list. And when Cody was putting that together, he was kind of like honoring his dad because Ray Lloyd was a guy that, you know, that Dusty loved. And Tommy Dreamer, another one. So he wanted to have his 5 guys there, and I sort of transcend, you know, both, you know, his him and his old man. So, it was great. I'm so proud of him. You know, it's just Dusty would be doing cartwheels, but Dusty would also be entrenched and involved with everything that he's doing. But it's really interesting to watch how this has taken off. I actually brought Cody in for an interview last December. We filmed it right before he went to Japan. And just like, since leaving the WWE, what has it been like? And, you know, he was lucky to get with the Young Bucks, who literally, you know, were tearing up the independent scene. And those guys became brothers. And he told me all about that. We talked about it. And, you know, All In was coming up, and they already committed to that. And, we said, well, we'll come back a year from now. and we'll talk about and see where you're at. Now they've got their own company, and it's kind of a crazy ride. And people have said, oh, do you think you'll go to work for AEW? I said, no, I don't. You know, he's doing his thing. You know, I've got, you know, what I'm doing, and I love what I do. I'm loyal to WWE because they've been really good to me the last 8 years, like really good to me. if I show up for a show here and there, that's one thing. But, my loyalty is strong with WWE. So, I have no, but I'll do, if he needs any help doing anything, I'd be there to help him.
Dallas, one more question before we go, and I just want to pull you back into the world of wrestling here. Obviously, you know, you were someone that was in the midst of the Monday Night War. You saw people go back and forth between WWE and WCW. So looking at what is happening with, you know, your friend Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, AEW, what does this mean for talent right now that is out there in the industry?
It's awesome. It was a great time in WCW and WWE at the time because you could get what the most you could be worth, or would, you know, because you could use it again. You have to have Coke and Pepsi to have competition. And
right.
Not that the AEW is competition in any way to WWE, not yet. I don't know if they ever will be. But when you've got companies like ROH, and then you've got a lot of other companies, I don't know all their names, but I know friends of mine who are, they're people who have companies that are on some kind of televised TV, are signing talent and giving them guaranteed contracts. You know, you've got Impact, off the top of your head, you got the Lucha Underground. What is it? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, Lucha Underground. I mean, right now people are escaping there, but I know what you mean. You got Impact, you got MLW, ROH, AEW is the new player, and of course WWE plus New Japan as well infiltrating into the American market. Yeah, so there are options out there now.
Yeah, it's like, to be, I heard that AJ Styles' contract was coming up. Someone said that. I saw it on the Reddit somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what, you know, I can't imagine how, you know, AJ would be like, you know, popped, like, oh my, you know, he's like, he'd be in the spot, you know, he would be in the spot, you know, that would, I'm sure WWE ain't going to let him go anywhere. And I'm sure they got plenty of money. They just signed a $1.2 billion contract. So I would imagine that any guy who's coming up for their deal the next year, and they're being used in the right way. I would imagine it's a great spot for them to be in. And I think it's great for the boys in general. And really, it'll be great for WWE all the way around because it's just that it'll make it when we were getting hot, you know, when the Monday Night Wars, it made WWE better. You know, it made Vince work harder. You know, out of it came things maybe they would never have done. So, you know, I think that it's a great thing for the wrestling fan and it's a great thing for the wrestlers.
Well, there you have it. There is lots more to come in that interview, and I'm going to be posting the whole thing up for patrons on Wednesday of this week. So by all means, as I like to say, join the Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And keep in mind, if you recommend the Patreon to someone, you will receive a month free. Yeah, as soon as someone joins, I send them a note asking how they found out about the show. If they reply with your name, I will instantly refund your month of Patreon. So please spread the word to as many people as you can to sign up, and you get a month for free. As many people as you recommend, that's the amount of months that you will get for free, because I can click back to previous months and just keep refunding you if you keep recommending it. That's how it works, guys. Thanks for signing up and being patrons of the show. We're going to take a quick break. We shall be back after this with your feedback. Sunday night's main event, TSN Radio. Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide.